Brilliant. Thanks, Alison. Do keep that in front of you. And you should have a handout, which you can make use of. There are some blanks to fill in if you find it helpful to concentrate. If you're watching online, then you can download that from the online page. And there are some colouring in sheets around as well, if those are helpful. Well, I wonder if you're afraid or anxious at the moment. There's lots to be afraid or anxious about, isn't there? You might be worrying about your work or your income. You might be worrying about your health. You might be worrying about loved ones. Many of us are very worried about the virus. And if we're honest, the government and the media haven't helped with this. I've spoken to people. I'm sure we've all heard people who are hysterically anxious. We're worried about the virus, and for many, the greatest fear of all linked to the virus is the fear of death. We fear the virus because we fear death in ourselves or in others. And this fear can be paralyzing, can't it? It can stop us from going out even when we're allowed to go out. It can stop us from doing things we'd like to do that we ought to do. Indeed, if the fear continues, it may be that some of us never leave home again. Of course, for much of the time, we block out the fear of death. We try to ignore it. We push it to the back of our minds. This is how one person describes this blocking out that has gone on in many people's hearts for many years. They say it's like your car's cruise control. The cruise control of your soul gets set at 55 miles per hour of contentment and peace of mind. And if your soul begins to slow down and become thoughtful and reflective about God and the things of eternity and the reality of dying, the cruise control kicks in and pushes the speed back up to where you won't think about it. That's the power of the fear of death functioning, like a slave master over what you feel and think. Or if your soul becomes energetic and active and speeds up to a new level of inquiry and pursuit of truth, and you feel yourself driven towards some new height of discovery about the meaning of life and death and eternity. Again, the cruise control kicks in and takes the acceleration away and makes you coast back down to the safe, blind contentment of 55-mile-an-hour enslavement. The fear of death enslaves everybody into a dream world of denial. That's in normal times. But we're not in normal times. At the moment, we can't ignore death, can we? It's front and center. It's in the headlines every day. Another 500 people have died nationally, we read, or another 4 people have died in Hull and East Riding hospitals and so on. But what if there's an end to the fear of death? And I don't just mean the vaccine. Don't get me wrong, the vaccine is a great blessing, but ultimately for all of us it can only delay death. We'll all die in the end. But what if there's an end to the fear of death altogether? And what if the end of the fear of death somehow transforms all other fears and anxieties as well? Wouldn't that be fantastic? Wouldn't that be worth thinking about? Well, I want to encourage us for a few minutes from some words in the Bible. They're in a book called Hebrews, and they're precious words. They're precious because they speak of a way that the fear of death can be removed. At the Allenby Churches, we're convinced that God speaks to people through his word, the Bible, through his Holy Spirit. You may know the Bible is the book on which above else our culture is built. It's full of good things, including what we're thinking about today. Many of us have experienced God speaking to us through its pages. We've tasted the goodness of its teaching. So it's worth working hard to understand this passage. So let's ask a few questions of the passage that Alison read to help us think about it. First of all, why did God come to earth in Jesus? No serious historian doubts that Jesus was a real person in history. Christians believe that he's God come to earth. And the writer is talking about why God came to earth at Christmas as a baby. He says, since the children, that is God's people, have flesh and blood, that is since they're human, he, Jesus, shared in their humanity. We're human, we're flesh and blood, So God became human, became flesh and blood in Jesus. But why? Well, the Bible gives lots of reasons, but here's the one the writer wants to focus on at the end of the reading, verse 15. That he might free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. Well, that's where we want to get to, isn't it? That's our goal. We long, our families long, to be free from fear, and in particular, free from the fear of death. So that's why Jesus came, according to this sentence, to free people from the fear of death. But how do we get to that point? Well, what does the sentence say? By his death, halfway through verse 14, by his death, he might break the power of the one who holds the power of death, that is, the devil. Jesus has broken the power of the one who holds the power of death, the devil. Now, we don't think or hear much about the devil today, do we? Except maybe in a movie on Netflix that sets up some demonic figure against the good guys. But those Netflix plots don't come from nowhere. They come from a common cultural inheritance passed down to us. The belief that there is a being, the devil, who oversees all the evil in the world. But what does the sentence say? It says Jesus has defeated the devil. It's a picture of Jesus as a conquering hero. I don't know if you like action films, or if so, what kind of action films? We have endless discussions in our household about what our favorites are. I enjoy Marvel films, among other things. And if you know Marvel, Jesus is like Iron Man in Avengers Endgame, finally finishing off Thanos, and by the way, dying in the process. He's broken the power of the devil, and the devil had the power of death. But that just raises another question. Why did the devil have the power of death? Well, the Bible tells us he holds the power of death because of what the Bible calls sin, all the ways in which people reject God's good and loving rule and choose to go our own way instead. Right at the beginning of the Bible, in Genesis chapter 3, we read that the devil came to the first man and woman in the form of a snake, and he tempted them to reject God's good rule and to go their own way. And the result was brokenness. It's why the world, though beautiful, is also broken, why there's disaster and disease and virus. And yes, it's why death came into the world. And the Bible tells us there are two aspects to death. Physical death, which is bad enough, but also spiritual death, being cut off from God and all that's good forever. And because of sin, the devil had this power of death over all people. He could say to God, they've sinned, they've gone their own way, they're under my rule, they must die. It's a bit like the White Witch in The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe. I don't know if you know the movie or the book. Edmund, one of the four children who go into Narnia, betrays his family. And as a result, he breaks the deep magic of Narnia. And the White Witch, who's like the devil in the story, she goes to Aslan, the Christ figure, and she says, Edmund's broken the deep magic, he's mine. He must die. And Aslan has to agree, a death must take place. And in the same way, the devil has the power of death because of sin. But again, going back to that sentence from Hebrews, we're told Jesus has broken that power. He's destroyed it. Well, how? How has he destroyed the power? Well, it's the time of year when the days are getting longer, the birds are singing, and we're coming up to celebrating Easter. Easter is a remembrance of historical events 2,000 years ago, and it was at the first Easter that Jesus defeated the devil and defeated the power of death. We'll know that on the first Good Friday, Jesus died on a cross, and it wasn't a terrible mistake. He died on purpose. Though he was completely innocent, he died to take the consequences of our sin on himself, to open up the possibility of forgiveness, just as, again, in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, Aslan dies in the place of Edmund, a death had to take place, but Aslan dies instead. And Christians believe that on the first Easter Sunday, Jesus rose again from the dead. It's the reason I'm a Christian today, because when I was 20 years old, I looked at the historical evidence for the resurrection of Jesus and decided it was very likely that it happened. And because Jesus rose from the dead, he guaranteed that anyone who follows him, anyone who believes in him, will also rise from the dead to everlasting, joyful life with God. In fact, even more wonderful, the Bible tells us that through our faith, we are already united to Jesus. We've already died to our sin and been raised to new life with him. Spiritually, we're already seated with him in heaven. There's some verses on the handout you could look up to see that. Jesus has destroyed the power of death for his people. So what's the end to the fear of death? Is it the vaccine? Well, yes, the vaccine will delay death for some, but we'll still die in the end. No, this is the end to the fear of death. Jesus has already risen from the dead. He's destroyed the power of the devil. He's destroyed the power of death. And for anyone who trusts in him and chooses to follow him and his good ways, death no longer has any hold over us. For just as Jesus rose from the dead, so also we will rise from the dead and be with God in perfect joy forever. We've already heard from Jill, haven't we, how knowing God has transformed her view of death. And speaking personally, I don't particularly want to die yet. I believe God still has work for me to do on earth, but I don't fear death. Because I know that when I die, because of my trust in Jesus and love for him, it'll be a transition to an even better reality, being with Jesus. And I find that confidence transforms my other fears and anxieties as well. Because none of the things I fear, none of the things I worry about have any ultimate power. Yes, they might affect me for a few years, and often, though often in his goodness, God spares me from them anyway. But even if the worst were to happen, it has an end date. For when I die and go to be with Christ, none of those things I'm worried, tempted to worry about, or be anxious about, will be able to touch me. So here's an invitation for each of us today. An invitation to find a way to not fear death. First, a word to those who are already trusting Jesus and are therefore united to him, spiritually seated with him in heaven already. We will still fear death from time to time. Of course we will. I went through a period a couple of years ago, ironically before COVID, when I thought about my death a lot. And when we think about death, it's not something to feel guilty about as Christians. We can see it as an opportunity to draw closer to God, to think and reflect on what Jesus achieved at the first Easter, to think about him risen, ascended in his physical body, and to trust that just as he came through death, so we will as well. That some of us might continue to be overwhelmed by a fear of death. There's always the danger of a preacher using a passage like this to beat someone over the head. You shouldn't fear. That's not my aim at all. We might be familiar with the story of Christian in Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan. Christian is faithful to God throughout his life, but when it comes to the point where he has to cross the river of death, he panics, he falls apart. But God still brings him through it to the heavenly city on the other side. And actually, the author's application of these verses in Hebrews is in verse 18, where he says that it's because of his humanity that Jesus is able to help those who are being tempted. So God doesn't condemn us if we still fear death sometimes, but he does want to encourage us, to comfort us. We don't need to fear death. We can place our trust in Jesus, who will bring us through it. There'll be others here or watching online who haven't yet put their trust in Jesus, who aren't yet seeking to follow him with their lives and therefore aren't united to him. What's the message for you? Well, there's an invitation, isn't there? There's an invitation with your name on it. Physical death, it is terrible. Spiritual death, being cut off from God and all that's good forever, that's even worse. But there is a cost to following Jesus, let's be honest. As those who've died and been raised with Christ, Christians are called to live new lives with him, to put to death their old desires and ways. There is a cost. But I hope we can see the benefit is much bigger. For Jesus has provided a way through spiritual death and physical death for those who put their trust in him. As he says in John chapter 5, "Very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life." Has crossed over. That could be true of you today. You may not be ready to make that kind of commitment. If not, I encourage you to join us over the Easter period. You can find details of what's going on the website or on the notice sheet. Do ask about an essentials course to find out more, or get in touch with me, and I'd love to send you a booklet that says more. But maybe you are ready. And if so, I'm going to pray a prayer that you can join in with. Let me say what the prayer is. Lord Jesus, I want to know you personally. I'm sorry for going my own way instead of your way. Thank you for dying on the cross to forgive my sin and rising again to bring me eternal life. Please come and take first place in my life and make me the person you want me to be. Amen. So I'm going to pray that prayer. And if you agree with it, then do say amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I want to know you personally. I'm sorry for going my own way instead of your way. Thank you for dying on the cross to forgive my sin and rising again to bring me eternal life. Please come and take first place in my life and make me the person you want me to be. Amen. And if you prayed that prayer for the first time, then do have a word with me or a Christian that you know. Get in touch if you're watching online, and we'd love to help you to think about what you could do next to take that commitment further. And for everyone else, there are some questions on the handout to think about. Do reflect on those during the week ahead. Just pause for a moment. Think about what we've heard.